Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
Great to be joined by one of the best in the business. That's Tim Kirchen. Tim, always a pleasure. Thanks a lot for your time.
My pleasure, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing really well, and I'll get to Tim McCarver first, but I'll preface it by saying I don't know if I've been more excited for a baseball season to start than this one. Labor peace, movement, new rules. There's something about this that is, at least personally, I've got a lot more juice. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I'm really excited, too, because, of course, 2020 was half of spring training. 2021, we weren't even allowed in the clubhouse. 2022 was off of a work stoppage, and now we have no issues going in. And you're right, the new rules and everything else are very complicated, and they could cause some major issues. But it's still really exciting, not just to have baseball back, but potentially a slightly different kind of baseball, which I'm the last guy to come around to this. We need this in the game now. We need to try something else to revive the value of the hit. You know, Major Leagues hit .243 last year, lowest average since 1968. So maybe the new rules will put the ball in play more. We'll have a few more hits, a few fewer home runs, a few fewer strikeouts. That's what we're looking for here.
I'm with you. I want to see the ball in play. I want to see action. I think that's great. Of the new rules being put in, which one would you have had the most resistance to? I mean, I know you want to see them all in play, but which one did you have the most resistance to?
Well, I have a resistance to all of them until I see them work. But I'm in favor of all the new situations. And my only concern is I think we need a pitch clock. I'm just a little bit worried with all the other changes in the rules, the shift rule, throw over rule, all this stuff. And now we're asking our pitchers to pitch in 15 and 20 seconds. I think that's going to cause some issues. And because of that, because we're timing our pitchers now, you know, things like coming to a complete stop are imperative now. Otherwise, the umpire is going to call a balk. And this is going to be like 1991 all over again, where there were tons of balks in April. So that's my confusion is, and I'm all for it, is that the players don't know what to expect. The managers don't know what to expect this spring, and we've got 6 weeks to iron all this stuff out.
Yeah.
Again, I'm in favor of trying something new that will get more action into the game.
I'm absolutely with you. I mean, in other words, I looked at it and went, okay, you know what? We're at the point I want to see it tried, too. And I did games in a league last year, and I'll do the games again this year. In the MLB draft league, where for whatever reason they were balk happy last summer. No offense,
yeah,
Tim.
Right.
Nine times out of ten,
that
I
way
can't.
Again. And this is not what baseball fans want to see, because most of them, and it's not their fault, don't even know what a balk is.
Right.
But if we're going to slow down the action, slow it down tremendously by calling a balk, you know, four times a game, that's not going to help things. And again, these are the adjustments that the players are going to have to, the pitchers especially, are going to have to make. Remember, six veteran umpires retired after last year. We've got a new set of really young umpires. They may be thinking, well, I have to call a balk here rather than using maybe a little more common sense. It's a very tricky time in baseball, and yet an exciting time, because we're going to see if these changes actually work.
One of the great moments in postseason, a signature moment, was when Dave Roberts stole second base in Game 4 of the American League Championship Series against the Yankees. 2 points out of that, under today's rules, Mariano Rivera, if I recall correctly, threw over four times, and then Roberts stole. He would not be allowed to do that. And number two, Posada, to his credit, made a great throw, except with larger bases, it would not have been as close. So to me, that's a graphic illustration of the new rules.
Yes, and these are the things that we have to iron out in 6 weeks of spring training. And keep in mind, like, I was at the Astros camp today. They have 13 players going to the World Baseball Classic. So 13 players are going to be going all over the place. By the time most of them come back, there's going to be 2 weeks left in the regular in the spring training season, and they're going to have to get all these new rules ironed out then in 2 weeks. So yes, the bigger bases, I'm still not sure what to make of that. I've had people tell me it's going to make a big difference. I've had others telling me it's not going to make any difference at all. I know that a couple pitchers I talked to said, look, I'm just going to be just a tiny bit quicker to the plate to prevent a stolen base. And I mean a millisecond faster. I don't think it's going to make that big of a deal, and I just don't think we're going to have a million stolen bases this year.
I think what Alex Cora said, it looked like a pizza box. I think that's
what
he
said. I was on the field yesterday and again on the field today in spring training, and it is a noticeable difference in the size of the base. We'll see if that's a good thing or even potentially a not-so-good thing.
Yeah, because there is something about 90 feet between bases that for whatever reason, a throw to first, you beat him by a half step, a stolen base, it's so close. Whomever came up with 90 feet, maybe Abner Doubleday, who knows. I mean, there was a slice of genius there, I thought, Tim.
Yeah, it was Alexander Cartwright, and we always wondered how in the world did he figure out that 90 feet was the perfect distance. The good news is home to first is still going to be 90 feet, so we're not 4 inches closer to home plate. But, yes, you're going to be 4 inches closer to second base on a stolen base, and, yes, that could affect some things. I've talked to some middle infielders already about – you know, playing the double play, what's it like with a bigger bag? There's an adjustment there. There's an adjustment to everything this spring. And I just hope that the players have enough time to adjust to all the changes in the game. And especially, they're making those adjustments and they have a pitch clock saying, hurry up, make these adjustments fast.
San Diego's made a lot of moves in the last few years. Has there been, you know, in this offseason, what's been your thought on what they've done and how have other people reacted to what San Diego has done?
Well, the Padres are really good. They did some really good things in the offseason and, of course, some really good things at the trade deadline last year. I still don't think they're better than the Dodgers. I don't think they're better than the Braves or the Mets at this point, but they're a playoff team from what I can see. I would be really surprised if they didn't make the playoffs. But, you know, they got knocked out by the Phillies last year, and Phillies played better than they did. So they're far from done here as far as improving the team, but I like what they've done. They're a very dangerous offensive team, but their starting pitching is the strength of that club, and it'll be really interesting to see where the Padres end up, especially when Fernando Tatis gets back after his suspension.
Exactly. I do have to ask you about the passing of Tim McCarver. I obviously have the privilege of working with guys like Jack Ham, Dick Girardi, and I always feel like the hallmark of a really good analyst is that when the game's over with, did I, the listener or the viewer, learn more about the game? I felt Tim McCarver did that. And I mentioned something earlier about Dave Roberts. World Series 2001, Luis Gonzalez at the plate, and Rivera, and he said before the pitch, his cutter moves in such a way that left-handed hitters get sawed off, but they dump the ball shallow into the outfield. And that's exactly what happened. What did you think of Tim McCarver?
Well, he was a dear friend of mine and one of the great broadcasters of all time. You could make a case that he's the greatest player ever to become a Hall of Fame broadcaster. I mean, Tony Kubek, Ken Harrelson, those guys are in the Hall of Fame. They were really good players. But you can make a case that Tim McCarver was the best baseball player to go on to become a Hall of Fame broadcaster. I mean, he had an excellent career. He played in four decades, 64 World Series. He was a tremendous postseason player for his entire postseason career. He led the league in triples one year as a catcher, which is just amazing. He's the only catcher ever steal home in a World Series game. He had a very varied career. He caught five different Hall of Fame pitchers. He caught two no-hitters, and he caught 450 starts combined made by Steve Carlton and Bob Gibson. And that's pretty darn good when you're caught those two guys for that many starts.
And people forget, by the way, Carlton was with the Cardinals at one point, so that's part of that grouping. When you talk to him, what was it about how he delivered a game, in your opinion, that made him a Hall of Fame broadcaster?
Well, he was a very curious man on and off the field. He was very analytical in doing a game. He talked slowly, which is very important for an analyst. If you're going to explain something, you need to explain it slowly. And I watched him around the batting cage for years and years and years, talked to players. You know, I've seen a lot of broadcasters who got everything covered before the game starts, and they don't go down and talk to the players. Tim Carver did that all the time, constantly seeking information. So his curious nature, which is critical for a broadcaster, any sort of journalist, any sort of radio show host, play-by-play guy, he had that curious nature to him. Why did this happen? What happened on that play? And then he had a great ability to explain what he saw.
Glad you said that, because that's exactly what my lecture was 3 weeks ago to my class. Be curious, not critical. Right?
Absolutely, and that was Tim McCarver. And yet when it came time to be pointed about something, he would be, because he knew his credibility was at stake.
And he also had more information behind it because he was curious, which allowed him to give a criticism.
Absolutely. The fact he played that long in the big leagues just made him so ultra-qualified to call a big league game. I will miss him tremendously on the air, as I did all those years, and personally also.
Tim, you're the best. Thank you so much for the time you gave us today. I'm really looking forward to this run this season.
Thank you, Steve. Talk to you soon.